Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Gratitude and thanks can be perfunctory or profound. Classicist Margaret Visser has tracked them to their roots in human nature, social interaction, and our reach, maybe, for the divine. Gratitude, she says, is the glue that holds the world together. We are rarely grateful enough for it. This hour, On Point, a Thanksgiving Eve meditation on thanks and gratitude. You can join the conversation, what sparks gratitude in you? And are we more or less grateful, thankful, in tough times? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now is Margaret Visser, South African-born classicist who long taught at Toronto's York University. She's been called an anthropologist of the everyday, author of Much Depends on Dinner and The Geometry of Love. Her latest book is The Gift of Thanks, The Roots and Rituals of Gratitude. She joins us today from Paris. Margaret Visser, thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me. Oh, it's just get those thanks.
Yes, I will get all the thanks out there on the table.
And I'm very grateful I am.
Yes, and how grateful, and my gratitude as well. And I'm sure we'll bathe in that the whole hour through. But it takes me right to kind of one of your core points and a core question here. I mean, you describe very clearly how thanks is everything from sort of mundane courtesy to something nearly magical, nearly divine or holy. And I wanted to just start off asking, is it all the same thing, whether it's mundane or magic, holy?
Well, it's got a large scope. It goes from one end to the other. People in our culture, in Anglo culture, say thank you about 100 times a day, as I think you mentioned earlier. English speakers. Mm-hmm. I know this because I lived in Spain, and I found, and you know when you learn a foreign language, you say the things that you would say in English.
In your native.
If you care, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And one of the things you know is gracias, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we said gracias whenever we would say thank you in English,
mm-hmm.
and we discovered, and to our amazement, that the Spanish were horrified. I mean, for them, we just said thank you far too much.
Really put off and by it. Because what, you must be insincere if you're saying it that often?
Yes, you must be insincere. And in fact, in their culture, saying thank you is rather distancing. If you're really close to someone, you don't need to say thank you.
Interesting.
And that's much less the case in our culture. But what we were doing, every time we said thank you, we were saying, we are distant from you.
Oh.
We are distant from you.
Right. We must thank you because we're not close. Oh, boy.
So, we're being very formal and polite, and the Spanish are astonished.
Well, that's good. You've got us bursting the bounds right away of our understanding. I mean, so part of it just in regard to language is a diminution of how profoundly important it is, but this is in part language bound or
right.
Channeled.
Absolutely. Gratitude is one of those things you never think about until somebody isn't grateful to you. Then you think, boy, you notice. Well, yeah. So, and this goes for saying thank you. I mean, you think it doesn't mean a thing. People just go, thank you.
Mm-hmm, right.
But if they don't, if you work beside somebody,
yes.
For example, and they never thanked you for anything, never said thank
mm-hmm.
you, and there's an irritation subconsciously. You don't even know that
right.
you're being irritated, but
right.
you're irritated. Because, you see, thanks is a sign of respect, you know. And no matter how you know, sort of, we're an atomized culture, as people mm-hmm. keep on telling us. We're all separated from each other. But everybody wants to be respected, and nobody wants to have no consideration. And thanks, every time you say it, it's a tiny little thing. Every time you say it, you are showing respect to somebody else. And that's one of the reasons why English sort of shortens it. So it's even easier to say. It's very quick, thanks. Yeah? And anybody can do it. It's not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you see, in our culture, where we are really so casual about manners, we are deliberately casual, which I suppose is a contradiction in terms right there.
Mm.
We try to be casual. But when you have a casual culture like ours that has relatively few manners
required rules,
mm-hmm. you keep those rules because there's so few of them that it becomes more important in a way to keep the few we've got. You know what I mean?
Of course, I do.
We're very free and easy, mm-hmm. but boy, there are things that we will not accept.
But then, in a way, if it's all about, hey, wait a minute, I'm waiting for my tip, my respect, my little word of thanks, even just that single word, it seems in a way to boil it down to just social commerce, like a commitment and obligation. And you're very keen on emphasizing the way in which freedom should or must ultimately come into the higher forms of gratitude, not just compulsion
Absolutely.
By social obligation.
Right. It's the when I say an obligation, I mean, you're not obliged to say thank you. Nobody, the law is not going to come and take you.
No, but I may be very grumpy if you don't.
But there is a pressure. There's a social pressure. There's mm-hmm. no question about that. Mm-hmm. And it's because other people, and you yourself, by the way, you also want other people to treat you nicely too. Mm. So if you never say thank you, other people will stop saying thank you to you, and you won't like that one bit. So it's there is a sort of pressure, but as you say, you're absolutely right. My book is very, very controversial, really. A lot of people say things like, there is no such thing as a free gift.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, an obligation, you know, obligatory giving actually is a contradiction in terms.
Mm-hmm.
A gift must be free. It must. People's motives are mixed, of course. Mm-hmm. Nothing's pure, you know. Mm-hmm. But if there is no freedom in a gift, you will not be grateful for it. You are grateful just to the precise extent to which you feel that this person didn't have to do it, mm-hmm. that they did it out of love. And that makes you feel grateful. If it's pure convention, mm-hmm. it's nothing but convention, just entirely convention. Somebody mm-hmm. gives you a present and sort of ho-hum and turns away and they have to do it anyway because the boss told them, or yeah, something mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. you're not grateful. It just, your gratitude mm-hmm. fizzles out.
No free gift and gratitude goes away. You know, Margaret Visser, you're the wonderful classicist. Maybe you could give us some illustration here of these dynamics from the classics or the ancients. I mean, it's hardly new to be contemplating what gratitude means and yeah. thanks means. What do we learn if we look back to the ancients?
Well, the first thing is that the Indo-European root of the word gratitude, not thanks, that's something different, grateful means praise. Okay, so in the bottom of this is the word I praise you instead mm-hmm. of, and learn, the word the idea of gratitude actually starts to crystallize out and is created in language by the ancient Romans, because they had two words, not one word. They had a word laus, which means praise, and then they had gratia, which means what we mean by grateful, and they separated out praise from gratitude.
Okay.
And this changed, it was a huge cultural change. And then the Greeks, of course, always got into this as well, via the Bible, I might say, largely. The Greek word for gratitude is charis, which was translated into Latin as gratia.
Mm.
And charis adds another whole thing. It's not only praise, it's also delight, joy. So there's a huge pleasurable aspect to gratitude. Then the Germans added another huge part to what we mean by gratitude in the word to think. The Germanic root of the word to think is from, you know, the German danken is to thank, mm-hmm. and that is related to denken, mm-hmm. to think.
Does
now,
it mean be considerate? Is it consideration? Is that what that kind
it,
of
to begin
thinking,
with, it just
thinking
means thinking. Mm-hmm, it just means mm-hmm. think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see, when you think of it, somebody gives you something. You want something. Somebody supplies your want.
Mm-hmm.
So what is more natural than to take what you wanted and go away? But you don't. In this case, you think. You turn to the person who gave it to you, and you think of the person who gave. Now, this is not natural behavior. I mean, it's involved in consciousness. So it's a very, very conscious, thoughtful thing. And then there's another dimension again, and that is the French are very extraordinary about this. They're one of the few languages that exist where they recognize something about thankfulness, and that is recognition. Their word for thankfulness is reconnaissance, which means recognition. So when you're thankful, you recognize the other. You don't tolerate the other. you recognize them. The word cognition is in there, and recognize, right? Mm-hmm. You think.
Related to the Germans in that way.
Absolutely. But the French say it every time they say their word for gratitude. They have gratitude as well. Mm-hmm. But the normal word for in French is recognition.
And then you can spread right on across the planet. By the time you get to Japan, you have sort of another approach entirely. You're sumimasen. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes, the Japanese are. Okay. You and I are separated by an ocean, Tom.
At the moment.
But
yes.
But just suppose we're sitting opposite the table. Okay. Yes, and you're going to give me a glass of sake, not a glass, a little china cup of sake, and you give me that, and I say to you, I'm so sorry. Now, this is very, very strange to us.
Strange but true.
And the reason why they do that is what they're doing is saying, look, I know that you are a very polite person, Tom. And given your background and your upbringing, I know that when you see a person like me before you that's in need something, you will give it to me. Therefore, you have given it to me. And Tom, I'm sorry to have intruded into your life.
Imposed on your good word.
it is so considerate. It's extraordinary. But it is not saying thank you. It's apologizing for the fact that I have intruded into your life.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about thanks and gratitude and the role in everyday life and in our deepest interactions. My guest is Margaret Visser. She is a classicist. She's been called an anthropologist of everyday life, author of The Rituals of Dinner, Much Depends on Dinner, The Geometry of Love. This time out, the book is The Gift of Thanks, The Roots and Rituals of Gratitude. And we thought it might be just right for this eve of Thanksgiving Day in the United States. She joins us today from Paris, France, and we are very grateful to have her with us. And Margaret, if I may, we've got a lot of listeners already ready to chime in here. Let me go right away to Asha in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Asha, you're on the air with Margaret Visser.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Nice to have you.
Hi, Asha.
Hi. So I'm originally from India, and we don't say thank you for every single thing, as you mentioned earlier. And now that I go back home once in a couple of years, my friends think I have become Americanized, that I say thank you if somebody passes me salt.
No. Right, exactly. In fact, I understand that people who are bilingual, which you must be now, in Hindi and English, when they speak English, the same people will say thank you, but they won't say it in Hindi. So that they didn't make the mistake I made in Spanish. They understand the rule, you don't have to say it all the time.
You don't have to say it, but Asha, does it mean that the sentiment is not there, or is it presumed in your native language or culture? Are Americans really more thankful, or is it just a different manner of expression?
No, I think it's manners. The way you perceive the manners is different from the way we perceive manners. For example, there was a survey some time ago where they thought the people in Mumbai are very rude because they don't keep the door open for people to pass. Now, that's a very Americanized thinking, as opposed to in India, the manners are very different.
Different manners, different language, and maybe an entire edition of a word there, which you are adopting now that you're here. Asha, thanks for that. Let me get one more right here from Danny in Arlington, Massachusetts. Danny, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. Yeah. I lived in China for 6 years, and one thing I noticed is every time we would say thank you, or we would give them a compliment, they would come back with, like, where? Like, their same word for, like, where is the compliment? And I started processing my own why I said thank you so much. And then I just started thinking that it was more, that was my way of being formal, like, versus being informal. So I just wanted to see what your guests thought of that in light of, like, my mom would always say please, and then say thank you. She wouldn't give me an item until I said please, and then I said thank you. So maybe it's not necessarily I'm thankful for it. It's just a way of respect for another person. I just wanted to hear your author's comment on
that. That's great, Danny. Thank you, Margaret.
Well, when your mother kept saying, say thank you, she probably said things like, what do you say? She very anxiously...
Where's the thank you, child?
She tried to teach her child to know how to negotiate the social life in the United States, you know, or in Anglo culture. So it's very different in another. One of the things that happens, you see, these things are linked with the idea of giving people things. You thank people for giving you something, not necessarily a thing. It can be a favor or kindness and so on. But the idea is that in many cultures, giving is obligatory. We've had that example of the Japanese. This Japanese person said, I'm very sorry, because she knows that you feel obliged to give me something.
Mm-hmm.
In our culture, we are extremely anxious not to make it obligatory. Now, I'm not saying that there's no obligation there at all, but there must be this sense of freedom. And that's one of the reasons why we insist that you must feel gratitude. It's not just manners. You must feel it, because a feeling cannot be obligatory. Nobody can make you grateful any more than you can make somebody love you. It's got to be freely given. So it's very difficult. I mean, it sounds as if we're sort of so casual, but actually we're hard. We're very hard. In a culture where that is less the case, people have an easier time. They don't have to feel it.
It's an odd juxtaposition. On the one hand, that the parents are saying, what do you say? What do you say? They're demanding the thank you. On the other hand, we insist on imagining it or describing it as freely given.
Well, by the way, it's very one of the last social acquisitions that a young child makes is saying thank you. And the first thing they learn first to say it, and only later do they learn to feel it. So we think that manners are all sort of elaborations and complications and things. They're not. What's really hard is the actual feeling. So the parent teaches the scenario to the child. And then one day that child will say, thank you, but without being prompted and even meaning it. That is a huge step in the child's development. Parents should watch out for that moment.
It's a big moment. Celebrate it when it comes, I guess.
Absolutely.
In part, they don't have to hound them on the thank you front anymore if they're over that. But you just
Something your caller mentioned was compliments. I mean, this is an absolutely fascinating phenomenon. I mean, North Americans pay compliments all the time. And people take it they're very cool about it. Mm. And when somebody pays you a compliment, you sort of say, thank you. I love your dress.
Yes.
Thank you. Now, in Europe, you have to pretend that you really... No, no. Somebody says, I love your dress.
It's just a house dress. It's just a rag.
It's nothing. It's just an old rag that I picked up, And you've got to sort of deprecate. You've got to deprecate, whereas Americans don't have to deprecate at all. And that's because the compliment has a special role in American culture. It is a sign of benevolence. Well, a compliment isn't creative. It isn't descriptive. Mm. It isn't, a big flight. It's simply, I like you. It's basically saying, I like you. I like being with you. You're nice. And it's dropped into the conversation in very strange ways, strange in other cultures. Mm. Other cultures will fly into all sorts of compliments and be expected to justify what it is they feel and all that. Americans don't have to. They just take it as a gift and they say, thank you.
Thank you. But that hardly means that other cultures don't understand the profundity of gratitude. You quote George Simmelt, early 20th century German sociologist, who claiming that gratitude, in fact, holds all of society together. He called it the moral memory of mankind. You can hardly get larger and deeper than that in your assessment of it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thinking part that we talked about earlier. I mean, no memory, no gratitude. One of the things that distresses people when they see civilization or civilized standards dropping. Civilization depends on memory, and memory and gratitude go together. And if there's nothing to – this, of course, is what you do on Thanksgiving is you remember. Right? Mm-hmm. And memory triggers gratitude. And it's more than triggers it. I mean, it is essential to it. Gratitude is a kind of remembering. It's remembering other people. And, of course, that exists in all cultures.
But take that on out for us. You yourself say that gratitude now is a sort of omnipresent knitter up of the fabric of modern life. There again, well, that's about as fundamental role as could be assigned to anything.
That's right. It fills in the gaps. It makes things work. There are various levels to this. I mean, there's there's the polite level that you mentioned. That's not to be sneezed at. Eh? Being polite lubricates human relationships. It makes things work more easily. Then gratitude also sort of knits people together. As we said, you know, saying thank you, we need it in our culture. One of the reasons why it's less said in Hindu culture, for example, is because they don't need to be knitted together. They are together. Mm. We are the ones who are separated.
Very modern, flying apart.
That's right. And we need something to compensate for that. And if we don't have it, we feel really sort of nervous because we pay a high price for individualism. And then, of course, we have other things too. I mean, we have things like human rights. Now, human rights are our version of justice, and they really are basic and fundamental, and that's it. That's justice. However, if you have a right to something, you don't necessarily feel grateful for it. It's yours. It's justice. It's not something.
Yes.
Grateful is to something that you didn't have to be given. Whereas if you feel it's yours anyway, you're not grateful for it. So there are sort of pressures in our culture against feeling grateful. So therefore, we feel more strongly about being grateful. It seems strange, but we have cut up our lives into sort of public and private, and definitely gratitude is private. There's a sort of a feeling, sincere aspect of our lives, and then there's the public, hard life that we have to face when you go out to work and
true.
Business world and stuff.
True.
Because we have separation, because we are so pragmatic, because we value efficiency and all those things, therefore, for that very reason, gratitude we feel very strongly about, because we really feel we need it. Somebody in another culture doesn't need it to the same extent.
All fair enough, though it's interesting to me, by the time you take us through this full tour, you come to the point where you're reminding us as well that gratitude can be kind of very near the pinnacle of human virtue and can take us in gratitude even for things that we may be entitled to or that come naturally. But if we feel gratitude for those most fundamental things, we may even approach holiness.
Yeah.
With gratitude.
Well,
we
one of the things, we went off to the Japanese before I had quite finished talking
sorry,
about
yeah.
the words for grateful. One of the words, the word gratia, is a Christian word meaning grace, right? It also translates a Jewish word, hesed, which means kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So gratia has a whole religious dimension to it. One of the things that I called my book The Gift of Thanks, people don't think very often that thanks is itself a gift. Okay, so when somebody and a gift is free, so being grateful is in the gift of the person who's received something. Okay, nobody can make you grateful, but you can give gratitude, and giving gratitude, you recognize that you are a receiver, that you are not a giver. When you get into the religious aspect, it goes up, 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 up. Because what you're saying, the religious attitude is, I have always already received. I can give. I want to give because I have the sense that I have received.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always giving back. You're not, you don't mind if nobody gives back to you because you're actually giving back yourself.
And there,
you see what I mean?
Yes,
it's a kind of state of grace,
no matter what's coming at
that,
you.
Well, that's grace is very important to this because the grace is what God has given you. So God is always the first giver, and you are responding in gratitude for that. And all the things you ever do for other people, you do out of that knowledge that you have already, always, already received.
Margaret Visser is with us. Her new book is The Gift of Thanks, The Roots and Rituals of Gratitude. And we can climb this ladder of gratitude just about as high, you see, as we like to go. Lots of people waiting to speak with you. Pablo in Sag Harbor, New York. Pablo, you're on the air with Margaret Visser.
Oh, yeah, great show, Tom. A lot of good material there. And I almost don't want to break you off from your train of thought there, Ms. Visser, but I was interested in, and really have long been interested in the way that gratitude, you know, you mentioned that it eventually becomes a feeling when it's given in freedom.
That's mm-hmm. right. It's a feeling and a thought. It's both feeling and thinking.
That among feelings or among emotions, it alone requires reflection.
Yes.
It has to be learned.
That's the thought.
To be genuine. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and that's why it is free. You see, you can't make people think and you can't make people feel. They've got to do it because they want to.
You call it a moral emotion.
A moral emotion. I mean, if to talk in religious terms, even God can't make you grateful. You don't have to be grateful. You're free. So, that's what makes gratitude really valuable. Because you know that if it's the real thing, and now we haven't begun to talk about the ingratitude and fake gratitude and bribery and lies and all the terrible things, you can abuse gratitude. But when it's the real thing, you know that person freely gave it. This makes it immensely profound.
A feeling and a thought tied together when it's free. Pablo, thanks for your call. Let's get another from Quebec in Canada. Steve in Sutton. You're on the air, Steve.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, sir.
I said, Visser, where have you been? And come back home. We miss you immensely.
I was there for 7 months this year. I was in Canada.
Decades on Peter Zofsky, taped the interviews, and I used to listen to them when I jogged. When I came home from work, my wife had assiduously recorded them in the morning.
Canada says thank you and come home, Margaret.
I go back to Canada all the time, and I'll be back in February.
Well, I can tell you that those programs were the highlight of our married life.
Well, good heavens.
What can I say? Thank you.
They must have been really great.
I just want to a brief adding, nothing profound. First of all, I'm tired of on the radio, with various reporters, and NPR is culpable at times. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, June. Thanks, Mary. Thanks. And it goes on and on. It sounds very insincere. And as far as I'm concerned, unless you really, really mean it, I think you should avoid it.
But insincere, you need something.
Let me just tell you something. When you say, the English language is very odd, because most languages, when you say thanks, they have another word that they add that means please. So in Italian, you know, grazie, they say prego. If you say in German, you say danke schön, and they say bitte schön. English has nothing.
Oh, we have you're welcome,
nothing.
Though
you
no one
reply.
Says it anymore.
No, but your welcome was brought into English by immigrants to the United States.
Is that right?
Because they couldn't stand it any longer.
I was raised with that as very much a requirement.
With a hole.
It's gone now.
I said, don't tell me that. That's terrible. Right. Anyway, the point is that people felt a hole because the English mm-hmm. language doesn't provide anything. In fact, English makes thank you the end. In other words, keep quiet. That's what it can mean. If you at the end of a conversation, you say, thank you, especially radio people.
Right. Get lost.
I'm sure you know.
Out,
you say,
done,
thank you, and means that's the end now. Stop talking. We're going to move on to somebody else.
Oh, I hate to turn it into that.
Maybe. So you see, it can be used in that way because in English there's no response. Do you see? Other languages have a response to thank you.
Well, I'll stick with your welcome while it lives and breathes, though I think it's in trouble. We will come back and look more at gratitude and thanks. Steve in Quebec, maybe she'll come home for you and bring you more highlights to your married life. We do thank you for your call. I'm Tom. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about thanks and gratitude and their role in everyday life and in our deepest interactions with Margaret Visser, South African-born, Canadian classicist, joins us today from Paris. Her new book is The Gift of Thanks, The Roots and Rituals of Gratitude. And it goes just about as deep as you would like to go. And on Thanksgiving Eve, it seemed like a good thing to be thinking about. Let's go to New York, Niagara Falls, New York, and Angie. Angie, you're on the air with Margaret Visser.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Margaret. Tom,
Hi,
thank you
Angie.
For having the author on your show.
Sure.
And Margaret, thank you for bringing attention to this very important topic. I'm a Native American, and I'm sorry I don't have your book in front of me. I don't know if you included Native Americans in your research, but it's bedrock,
yes.
Very strong bedrock of our culture. We wouldn't have survived without gratitude. In fact, it's such an important factor in our lives that we start every single day thanking the Creator for every single thing that contributes to our lives, from the smallest insect all the way up to greater things. So our morning prayer of thanks can take quite a long time as you consider everything that goes into life on Earth and our participation in it.
I was recently in Vancouver, and I saw the salmon come in, and the Indian custom is to thank the salmon. You know, it's tremendously moving. I mean, thanking the, you know, the earth for giving you all the things that you have. Yes, it's
exactly,
wonderful.
Yes.
Angie, it's good to have your input on just that front. On as we come to Thanksgiving here, what do you think of gratitude in contemporary American culture? Do you see enough of it around? What's your advice to us?
Well, you know, in contrast to Native American culture, where not only do we start every day giving thanks, but in our darkest times, in very challenging times, we give thanks for that challenge, and we give thanks for the people who contribute to that challenge, and that helps us survive and come up with creative solutions. So I'm just saying that several times throughout the day, we will also have opportunities to express gratitude. So it's a constant factor in our daily life.
That's absolutely. I mean, this is a very religious attitude. I mean, Christianity says, you know, the letters in the Bible say, you know, give thanks at all times. And that means even when life is hard. Even when it's hard, thank, which is an incredible thing to say, you know. I mean, for us ordinary mortals, you know, when you're suffering, to be grateful. I mean, this is the height of spirituality. I mean, there's an extraordinary story, and I don't know if you've read Etty Hillesum's book, An Interrupted Life.
No, I haven't.
This is a Jewish girl. Mm-hmm. Have you read this
book? No, I know the book, but haven't had a chance.
You've got to read it. You cannot not read this book. Mm. It's one of the great spiritual classics, you know. Now, she died in a concentration camp. Mm-hmm. And there's a letter from her saying how every day she stood in that camp and she raised her eyes to heaven and thanked God for what he had given
in
her.
In a concentration camp.
It's impossible for ordinary people to reach that, but it's tremendous. You see, I said that gratitude is in the gift of the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be grateful even for horrific things. You, I said earlier, I don't want to give the wrong impression. I said that, you know, human rights makes you feel that you don't need to be grateful. Mm. But you can be grateful that somebody kept the human rights. You know, human rights don't always work out.
That's for sure.
You can be grateful for the fact that this worked out. I mean, people who are grateful can find the foothold on which they can stand and be grateful.
But I'm wondering, off of Angie's call with a Native American perspective in mind, you described different manners and degrees of articulation of gratitude. But in your study, do you see different experiences of gratitude in different cultures? Are there cultures that at their essence are more grateful or that feel the emotion of the combination of thought and feeling more than others? Is it sort of equally evident in human life?
Well, a lot of it is to do, as I said, with obligation. I mean, there are cultures, for example, the Inuit in Canada, their traditional culture, when somebody shoots a seal and brings it into the camp, everybody who knows that man, it's a man usually, knows that, you know, I'm going to get the front left flipper of that seal. I'm going to get the bit behind the neck.
He takes
this thing and he cuts it up and just gives it to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't keep it for himself. Mm-hmm. He gives it to everyone else. And they're not grateful. They just know that that's their rights. It's like rights. Okay? Mm-hmm. But what they are grateful for is the fact that this man harpooned a whale. They're grateful to the creator that gave the whale and enabled this man to shoot it. You see what I mean?
Yes, a different
target. The gratitude is placed at a different place, you know. You can rise. As I say in the book, gratitude is a transcendental thing. It enables people to rise and to. This is what the Native American woman was saying. I mean, you know that they can. They're able. They're always grateful. They find a way of being grateful, and it makes you very happy. Well, if you can do that, I told you that gratitude. Mm. What part of the meaning of the word is pleasure and joy.
And in a way, spiritual health. I mean, the more gratitude you have consciously in mind, it seems to me, the more fully you're richly, deeply living.
You're also, and you're highly aware, too. It makes you turn away from yourself and look to other people and to nature and to, you know. So I'm so used to hearing, I've had meeting people who have a tin ear for religion, you know. It's so nice to talk to Americans who don't.
Oh, well,
Americans understand religion.
I don't want to make any great claims, but here we are. Well, I'm afraid I do, but then that's just life and upbringing.
I mean, you may not do it. Yeah. I would not be able to do what Etty Hillesum did, I'm quite sure. But you can see how great that is.
Let's go to Brian in Marion, South Carolina. Brian, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you folks today?
Well, thanks, Brian. What's on your mind?
I'm calling because I want to know, my take has been on thankfulness, that one is either thankful or one is not. And I'm wondering about, is thankfulness something that can come in degrees? Is it proper to say, I'm so thankful, I'm so very thankful? It strikes me that thankfulness is in that short list of things like infections and pregnancy, that one either is thankful or is not.
That's great. Yeah, Margaret.
Well, what I said that it was that thinking is very important. So you've got to be very discerning when you're grateful. There are things that you should not be grateful for at all. I mean, you've got to, when you are grateful, you use your judgment. It's a very intelligent thing. Being grateful. And you can take a situation and see things in it that are awful and you're not grateful for those. And you can see things in it that are good and you are grateful for those. So every case is different. You can't, it's not a, you know, there's more gratitude and less gratitude. Each time it's the receiver, the person who's grateful, who decides. And they look at it and think about it. And as I said, you don't have to be grateful all the time. There are things that you should not be grateful for.
But you do see matters of degree then, certainly in the way we articulate things. It's thanks and thank you and thank you very much and thank you very much indeed. And it can just get longer and longer.
Well, that is politeness, you know. That's one of the rules of politeness. The longer it takes for you to say something, the more polite you are. You know, in other words, you know, shut the window is not polite. But would you mind very much closing the window? I mean, this is a library, and I don't like having the noise of the traffic. Would you mind? Do you think you could possibly consider? Yeah, the more you do that, the politer you are. So
yes, but I don't think you'll get much thanks for that. Let's get a call from Amherst, Massachusetts, and Sandy. Hi, Sandy. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello. I run a little market, and I have staff who, obviously should thank our customers when they pay. And I had a girl that was working for us who would tend not to say thank you. The customer would thank her, and she would say, you're welcome. And it bugged me, and I said, I want you to say thank you before a customer thanks us, and don't say you're welcome. And she kind of looked at me like I was crazy, and I'm wondering about that term, you're welcome. It almost, to me, it sounds like, oh, we are doing this great favor for you, and you are so welcome.
So your staff want to be thanked, and then they want to receive the gratitude for doing the service for the customer.
Right.
Well, quite often people feel that if they've paid, you know, if somebody's got, if somebody has been paid, they don't need to be thanked. because, you know, they've got their, what more do they want? They've been paid, you know,
right.
What I mean?
Well, okay.
That's why people don't like giving a tip, because they think, oh, this guy's been paid already. Why should I give them a tip?
Yeah, you know? Maybe not.
So being payment and thanks, you're onto an interesting subject there, because our culture has divided society into two halves. I did refer to this earlier. On the one half, there's commerce, and on the other, there's the gift. On the one side, there's contract, and the other, there's the gift. And payment, money, is in the side of commerce. So saying thank you for somebody for paying, or saying thank you to your customer, you are, in a way, you have to sort of transcend the operation in order to say thank you.
Because it's just commerce, after all. On the
it's
other hand,
just everything commerce, after all. And thank you belongs to the gift side.
But then we wrap everything in manner and mannerism. On the same front, let's go to Chase in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Chase, you're on the air. Hello,
Chase. Thank you for taking my call, Tom.
Yes, sir.
This actually relates to the last caller. I do work in retail as well. I've worked in retail for a few years, and the company that I work for the past few years, one of their business strategies is actually an acronym for the word FIRST. I really can't, don't know if I can say the company or not, but the last letter in that acronym is T, for thanking the customer, and it's telling them to thank them for their business and show that we're gratified by their business.
So it's part of the training. It's sort of the required package of training there.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, it sometimes feels like we're brainwashed with it, but seriously, it does work.
Well, people light up, they smile a bit, they beam when they get that little thing.
Yes, sir. And,
well, and they get angry if they don't get it, perhaps.
No, ma'am.
No, they don't. Okay.
But the training.
So how do you do this? I mean, give us your ritual. What do you say to people in your shop?
Well, I sell paint for a living, and hopefully not for a living very longer. But I give them the paint. I tell them what they need, and I say, thank you, thanks for coming or shopping here. And it's just, I can totally tell a difference between the customer that I tell thank you to and sometimes that I forget.
They go away happier.
There we go.
And more likely to come back as well.
That's why people say it all the time, because other people want it.
The strategy is, because if we thank them, it shows that we are gratified for their business and that they will come back. And a lot of the time on our customer comments, we do get, your customers are so nice, they're so wonderful, or your employees,
your staff,
are so nice,
right.
So wonderful.
I mean, it's funny that it works, even it's received warmly and appreciated in that emotional way, even when it's just business or business wrapped very nicely.
And even if they know it.
Even if they know it, it still feels good. Chase, on that front again.
Well, at least they're nice people. They don't just laugh at you or something.
Who wouldn't like it? One more there. Susan in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
In the last 10 years or so, I've noticed more and more, particularly young people, if I say thank you to them, they say, oh, no problem.
Yeah.
And that always annoys me, because I think if it had been a problem, maybe they wouldn't have done it, or...
Well, this is strange, you see. This is very strange. I mean, when somebody says to you, you say thank you, and then they say no problem, it sounds as if they didn't want to be thanked. Well, they do. So it's very easy. You have to ask yourself, what is happening when somebody says, don't mention it? Because it's not that they didn't want you to mention it. What they mean is, I don't want you to feel obligated. I don't want you to feel that I'm trying to get you this fear of obligation entering into the relationship. It's something very powerful in our culture. We don't want to feel obligated. And when somebody says, don't mention it, or it was nothing, you know, they give you a present. And
we used to say, very much obliged. We used to actively articulate that, very much obliged. I mean, it's the opposite
obliged.
Of that, isn't it?
That's
no problem.
Different. That's a different story altogether. But I'm talking about the deprecation.
Yes.
It's saying, you know, I really like you, and and you don't have to feel that you have to give me something in return or any of that. I just want, it's not that they don't want to be thanked. They just don't want to make you feel that you have to do anything about it. It's entirely a matter of my liking you. That's what they're saying.
Margaret Visser,
and it's a very, very sophisticated thing.
Well, I suppose, though you can hear our caller doesn't entirely enjoy it there. She, in a way, wants...
Well, she doesn't understand what is happening. Well, see, people don't quite often.
Maybe, but she may. There may be a way of sort of shrugging off, you know, and this may be a way of pushing aside the whole business of... the nicely mannered interaction, sort of as
a
no problem, never mind.
No, I don't think so.
You may be right. You know, our time,
I think that when somebody says no problem, they mean it wasn't a big deal. I haven't suffered. Don't feel guilty. I'm fine. I enjoyed serving you. You know, it's a very, very polite
we'll take it
thing,
gratefully
actually.
Then. Our time is so short, but I don't want to lose you without going. I mean, tomorrow in the United States is Thanksgiving anyway, and you know, this is a day of high ritual thanks, at least.
Is it?
You know, well, that's supposedly is supposed to be. What about when we get to that plane? We've just got a minute and a half here. But when thanks gets elevated to high ritual, what's going on there with gratitude, Margaret?
Well, the United States is a nation of immigrants, right? And this is a powerful ritual for making everybody come together. They're all doing the same thing, you see, and they're celebrating. Prosperity. They're celebrating being in America. There's this wonderful painting, you know, by Norman Rockwell, mm-hmm. who has this big somebody
the,
carving
the groaning board,
you know,
the great turkey,
the groaning mm-hmm. board, the mm-hmm. stuffed turkey. All things stuffed. Part of the ritual is stuffing things. Okay, so the souls, everything's stuffed, and the picture is called. People don't realize this. It's called Freedom from Want. And that's very, very important. It expresses the people who come to the United States who really are so pleased to leave behind the misery that they were having. And now they're free. And this relief turns into gratitude. It's all kinds. I mean, this is a whole. I could have talked for an hour on Thanksgiving.
Though this year, with the economy the way it is, there are many who will not be rolling in plenty. We may have to set their sights of gratitude on another target than just that groaning board.
That's not my experience. I don't think that rich people are necessarily more grateful than poor people. Poor people are often the most grateful people of all.
Absolutely. And with that, we must thank you and are happy to do it. We give it freely. And thank you so much for being with us. The book is The Gift of Thanks. Margaret Visser, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.